Take me where the promise is.
My name is Alex, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Welcome to the Monday 8 p.m. Blue Chip Speakers Meeting at the NABA Club, where a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual, in our personal stories, describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and clear-cut ideas of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight, and listening later on aabluechipspeakers.org, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I am one of them too. I must have this thing. And tonight's speaker comes to us from the 9:30 group here at NABA, 9:30 in the morning, which means he's very dedicated to recovery. Yeah. And with that, we have David.
Okay, hi everybody, I'm David Alcoholic. And I'm so glad to be here. This is, I'm sober for 11 years. And this is for you. This is your first meeting? That's amazing. And you came here voluntarily? Yes, that's amazing. Yeah. I'll tell you a little bit about my experience. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My sponsor is here, Rusty. Rusty is my sponsor. Richard was my sponsor before Rusty. He's in the back there. He's looking down at his phone. My friends from the 9:30 meeting, I appreciate everybody being here, Michelle, Dana, Mike, and Bill. So I'll tell you a little bit about me. So I usually speak pretty fast because I'm from New Jersey, but I'll try to, I've been here for 26 years, so I'll keep it to where Georgia, my Georgia accent. So I grew up in New Jersey. I lived there until I was 15 years old. I had my first drink when I was 15, and I had that warm feeling from that, you know, it was on a Saturday morning. I screwed up the day because my parents, we were supposed to go to New York. Maybe that's my parents. I'll tell you about that in a second. We were supposed to go to New York City that day, and because I wasn't feeling well, we didn't go. So, you know, I screwed up that day. So that was the first drink I had, was at 15. And then, you know, it kept on going. I didn't really drink very much. And then high school, I blacked out once, you know, on New Year's, and my friends left me in front of my house, blacked out. My mother thought I was dead. That was great. And then I blacked out again, fraternity initiation at University of Florida. And then I blacked out. The last time I blacked out was right after grad school from University of Florida. And I was working my first job in Naples, Florida, and I was living in Bonita Springs. And I went with my roommate out for free drinks, unlimited, and somehow we lived through the night. I was found walking around naked in Bonita Springs along the side of the road by an off-duty police officer, and he took me to the hospital. I cut my foot bad. I didn't make a meeting that I was supposed to go to in St. Petersburg the next day. I lost my job. That was 1987. So then, you know, then other outside issues came in to effect because I figured the drinking wasn't good for me, so I did other things. But, you know, I still did drink every once in a while, but when I drank, it led to other things. So, you know, that went along until I was 35 and had gotten married. And then it was off to the races. And when I was married, then started going out dancing and partying with my wife and my friends, and then it was, you know, life in the fast lane. I'm a big Eagles fan, and I just didn't stop, nonstop, all the time. I don't know how I got through 8 years of marriage, but I totally wound up destroying my marriage, destroying my relationship with my young children, destroying my relationship with my in-laws, with my sister, with my family, and then I wound up being in an apartment by myself. I still maintained employment for some reason, but then I quit on a bender, and I managed to continue to use and drink and got another job about 6 months later and stayed in the same industry and just kept on going. And then my geographic changes were 10 different apartments in 10 years in Atlanta. I kept on moving every different apartment until October 13th of 2013, when on a Friday night in my apartment, I wound up letting the police officers in my apartment. I didn't have to, but I did, because they smelled outside issues from outside. And I was very strange in my behavior. Like, I would not bring my rent downstairs. I would leave it under my mat in a high-end apartment complex and tell them to come get the check under my doormat. You know, it's like, you know, there was something wrong with me. So I went to jail for 3 nights on, what was that, Columbus Day weekend of October of 2013. And that's when my life changed. And I, in that DeKalb County jail, I just, on the second night I was there when I was freaking out, I wrote a letter to God, to myself, and to my children, my family, saying that, okay, I've hit rock bottom, I've had enough, and I've got to change. And instead of taking probation when I got out of jail, I went to DeKalb County Drug Court. And I went through drug court when it was really tough here in DeKalb. I'm going back tomorrow to a DeKalb County Drug Court alumni event. We have every month now. We started it back up. It's an alumni event. And we talk about how they can make the program better again. But, you know, I went through the program. I was turned on to NABA through the program because one day I was talking or something when somebody else was speaking, and they gave me community service and told me I had to call this gentleman at NABA and come, and I wound up mopping the floors in the kitchen for several days in a row when I was down here. And I found that was my second sponsor. I already had a sponsor from 8111. So I already had a sponsor, but that gentleman wound up helping me for a while. And I started going to AA meetings nonstop between here and 8111. I didn't find a home group for a while. I did find a sponsor, very, very importantly. I didn't tell you about all the relationships that I destroyed besides my family, my girlfriend. I had a beautiful girlfriend when I got divorced, and she gave me the ultimatum between the outside issues and alcohol and her, and I obviously chose the outside issues and let her go away, which was really stupid. I did a lot of very stupid things. But when I got sober, the first phone call that I made from the DeKalb County Jail was my ex-wife, and she was there for me that weekend. And when I got sober, I decided to stay sober. I picked up one white chip. It was 50 years, 35 years of which I drank and did outside issues, but I have not ever gone back. I have using dreams all the time. So how has it been for the last 11 years? So, let's see. Well, first I had a girlfriend in sobriety for the first time ever in my life, and that worked out nice, but not great, because she was embarrassed the fact that I was in AA and I couldn't tell her family, and it was an embarrassment to her, so that wound up ending. And then sometime during that, my mom died of esophageal cancer, but she saw me sober for 4 years before she died. And then when my mom died, I decided to try to kill myself using smoking cigars. So I started smoking cigars alcoholically. I smoked $650 to $700 worth of cigars a month to try to get a buzz. And what that did for me was that gave me bladder cancer. So I wound up getting bladder cancer in 2020. This is the pandemic hit. It might have been something else, but it was probably smoking those cigars. And you know, I was sober, but I wasn't doing the right things in my life. I wasn't taking good care of myself. I was smoking cigars. So I stopped smoking cigars. And then I got bladder cancer, and I had bladder cancer for 3 years. It seemed like it passed by pretty fast. My best friend, Michelle, was there for me. the whole time I had to reverse. I lost a kidney. And then after I lost a kidney, the cancer kept on coming back into the bladder. So I kept on getting checked every 3 months, and the cancer kept on coming back. And then I was going to go on chemotherapy, which is not successful. So I wound up having my bladder and my prostate removed, radical surgery, in 2023. So it was 19-20 months ago. And that took care of everything. And I've been cancer-free ever since. And thank God that I'm cancer-free. And you would never know. Yeah. So, and I would have never caught it if I was still using and drinking. There's no way I would have caught it. I would have ignored it. Because so many people ignore the warning signs. I did not warn it. They ignore the warning signs. My best friend, one of my best friends, Stephen, told me immediately after I had some blood in my urine to go to the doctor. I did, and that started the whole process. And I had to be my advocate for myself, because they don't take care of you unless you start looking at different solutions. So, you know, that was really good for me. Along the way, you know, I made the 930 group my home group, and met my best friend, who has the same belly button birthday as me. And we spent a lot of time with each other, and I renewed my relationship with my boys. They're now 26 and 22, and they're both on their way to successful lives, and we have a good relationship. And the mother of my children and I have a civil relationship. I got my relationship back with my sister, which I had burned terribly. I apologized to my ex-in-laws before they passed away. Well, he passed away. She's still alive. I made the first amends. My very first amends was to my old boss, who I hated immensely, and told him I was going to kill him. Because I blamed him for quitting my job or sabotaging me, but it was me. I realized it was me once I started working the steps. My first sponsor had me work the steps immediately when I went to 8111. Do not stop at 3. Continue going on, because many people stop and you'll never get it. You've got to work the steps. So I had all those relationships back, and then my father passed away 2 years ago. But I got to spend a lot of time with him after my mom died, and got to see him get remarried, believe it or not. And he died at 90, a month after his 90th birthday. And he died very quickly after he broke his hip. He didn't suffer. And ironic thing is, I was in Melbourne this morning. I was down in Florida today. And I went by the cemetery to pay respect to my parents yesterday. And I couldn't go to their plots because there was a service. They were burying somebody right next to them yesterday. So I couldn't stop. And when I went back today, the tractor was on top of my mom's tombstone, which really upset me a lot. I told the guy to back up, but, you know, I got to spend a little bit of time down there. But these days, you know, basically I have a great life. I still work for the same company, 24 years, the same company, because I quit. I went to a startup. The startup got bought out by a Japanese company, and then we bought the company I quit from. And I work with all these same people, but everybody is different, and I am very different. And they know that I am in recovery, and I am very quiet in the office. I don't rattle anybody. I don't mouth off anybody. When I get my reports for monthly commissions, I always say, reply back, thank you so much. I love my job here. I bet you didn't know that I do that. I write that. Because I'm thankful every day that I wake up. You know, so how it is now is I go to the gym 3 days a week. I try to help people. Dana, my friend, and I go to a recovery house in Roswell. We try to go on Wednesdays every once in a while. Heroin and fentanyl addiction, that helps. I try to help people wherever I can. I have clients that are in recovery that I didn't realize. I have a client in Central Florida that he has the same belly button birthday as well, and he's in recovery. It's just amazing. And, you know, I live this program. You know, I'm not perfect. I have my moments. I don't like when anybody gets too close to my car, you know, in my personal space. I try not to slam on my brakes anymore when that happens, because I did that during my addiction and somebody totaled my car and they got charged with the ticket and had to buy me a new car, but it was me. I did it. You know, I slammed on the brakes, but they were following too close, so. But it was me. It was me. And I, you know, my sons have seen their friends drunk. my oldest son's best friend, who was his high school friend, and they lived, my son lived in Colorado at the time, and his friend lived here, and he was just graduating from college. This is about, I don't know, 6 years ago, and he was driving on 400, and somebody got on 400 in the wrong directions, inebriated, and incinerated him at 120 miles an hour. And his mother was waiting for him at home from work. He was coming home from work. So my son actually was fortunate enough to sprinkle his ashes in the mountains in Washington State. So, you know, my kids are smart enough, I think, to not do the same shit that I did. You know, I see situations all the time of people dying and people coming, leaving. I don't have any sponsees right now, but I had a sponsee, and he decided after a year that he was all better and disappeared. And I was supposed to help somebody out today that was in a rehab center down in Sebastian, Florida, that at the last minute canceled on me to see me, and he's been using and drinking since he was 14. He's 24 years old. The last time he got pulled over, he was doing 100 miles an hour, and he was sleeping in his car. And he's lucky that he lived. So I'm just really thankful to be alive every day and to have gone through as much as I have. And I love my life. I love coming here. I love traveling. I love going to concerts. I love talking to my children. You know, my youngest son decided that he liked sports book, just like his dad. But, you know, I kind of have a governor on it. I know when to stop. Well, he decided he was going to win every time. And he called me up last week crying that he didn't win, and he lost. And he was crying. And I'm like, it's better that you found out now before you start working. He's in his last year of college. And realize that, you know, there's a reason why these companies are making billions of dollars on sports book. You know, it's like crack cocaine. It's just as bad. You get addicted to it. When they're offering you, you know, they'll give you $500 for your first bet. They're not giving you $500. They want you to get addicted to it. And so many people. But, you know, I am so glad to be here. It's brief, my story that I've told you, but I'm 61 now. And I'm just so thankful. I'm thankful to be here and to share my hope and what I've been through, and that if I could do it, you know, anybody could do it. Because, and I'll finish with this, I used to say to my friends during my active addiction, I'm going to write a book, and it's going to be called It's All About Me. You know, it was all about me. And I realized that that was just a very bad joke, you know, because it wasn't about me. It was about the addiction. And the addiction was killing me, destroying me, and destroying everybody around me, and destroyed all my friendships and relationships. And in the end, when I wound up going to jail, there was really nobody around me. It was just me in the apartment with the shut, drawn shades, you know, using and drinking and doing all that for 48 hours at a time and, you know, somehow living. So I'm glad to be here. That's all I have. Thank you. Thank you for being here. I appreciate being here.
Thank you, David. I assume you're tired because your home group is at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
All right. We've asked Mike to do the chip.
Hey, I'm Mike. We do the chip system. Start with a white chip. Everybody coming in for the first time?
Let's go. First I slip and then I crib to a hope-filled dream. You rescue me. And there I see, I look into love's window for a soul that's meant for me. Takes me where the promise is. All sometimes quickly, sometimes slow. We get just what we need. On a broad highway, stride for stride, we walk eternally. Look into love's window, for a heart that beats for me, takes me where the promises are. Take me where the promise is.